In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani conclude their series of conversations about prodigies, focusing on Michael Rabin.
Yehuda, I'll say two words and you tell me what they mean. Michael Rabin.
Okay. I need more than two words to tell you about Michael Rabin. So this will be the conclusion of our series of exploration of the phenomenon of the child wonder, the wunderkind, prodigy. The cons, the pros, the complications. There are no guarantees that a child prodigy will become a soloist or a virtuoso, as we found out. So many pitfalls along the way. What usually helps, and that's also something we noticed as we were looking at different examples, is that it helps to be born to musician parents with the right environment, the right encouragement. But as a former soloist put it, and this is a quote, for every 10 students, one will attempt suicide, one will become mentally ill, two will become alcoholics, two will slam doors and jettison the violin out the window, three will work as violinists, and that's not a happy kind of compromise for people who dream about a major career, and perhaps one will become a soloist. And this is very accurate, kind of statistically correct. If you look at the number of violin students who enroll at Juilliard, that's pretty much the correct proportion. In the tragic story of Michael Rabin, both parents were musicians. So it was an excellent start. Mother was a pianist. His father played the violin with the New York Philharmonic. He was a phenomenal talent. At age 14, he played his Carnegie Hall debut with an orchestra, but this was the turning point, age 14, when you sort of switch from being a child to being an adolescent to being a mature person. He started developing problems. Instability, fear of falling off the stage, neurosis, drugs, seizures. He was found dead in his West End apartment. He was in his early 30s. The official report was that he slipped on a parquet floor and hit a chair. You want to believe it? It's fine. That's what the newspapers reported. As for the role of the ambitious parents in this tragedy, I have to tell you a personal story. Shortly after Michael Rabin's death, I was invited to play a house concert in an elegant Park Avenue apartment. It was the home, I still remember it very clearly, it was the home of Mortimer Levitt, who was a successful manufacturer of customized shirts, you know, monograms and the whole bit. It was exactly the time, it was mid-70s, it was exactly the time that nylon shirts were coming into the market and were ruining his business. Because it was press-free, you know, drip-dry, whatever you call it. So I played a short program and concluded with the Chopin Nocturne. There was an elderly couple sitting on the sofa right in front of me in this music room, in the living room. And as soon as I started playing the Chopin Nocturne, the woman began sobbing. She was Michael Rabin's mother, she told me. And she said he used to play this piece very often. But then, this is how she concluded.
Did you stop your concert?
This was the last piece.
Okay.
So I finished, there she was crying. She was sitting just as close as you are to me now, just across. And then she said, and this is what remained in my memory as a very disturbing statement. She said, the world has lost a great violinist.
She's talking about her own student, her own son.
Was she his manager, for God's sake, or was she his mother? The world has lost a great violinist. Can you imagine a mother losing her son saying that? I don't know. I found it very disturbing, very revealing what he meant to her, what the relationship was.
Well, but it's possible, it's just possible she was trying to communicate with you on a level.
On a professional level.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I still remember I was shocked. Mm-hmm. When a bereaved mother had to say that about his dead son. There's another reason, it's not related, but I have to tell you that. Another reason I remember this night very clearly is that at the back of the room, there was a tall young man making sketches of me playing. And after I finished playing, he came over and offered me those drawings, and he said, $15 a piece. I was just starting out. I couldn't afford it. His name was Leroy Nyman.
No kidding.
So, but let's get back to Michael Rabin. We have a historic performance from 1950 on the Bell Telephone Hour of Michael. He is 14. He's being introduced. And I would like to dedicate this touching rendition of a Mendelssohn song to all those hopeful dreamers whose lives and careers was messed up by parents, by stage fright, by nerves, by memory slips, by fears of success, by fears of failure, on the wings of song.
To learn about Yehuda Hanani's Close Encounters with Music series, visit cewm.org. Information about the music played in this segment is posted online at wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.